on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. My name is Tyler Carter.
And my name is Cody Vanciulello.
Cody, we have a very, very, very good matchup upcoming on Saturday with the West Virginia Mountaineers. How you feeling?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, obviously, Iowa State being 5-0 for the first time since 1980, we're off to our best start. A lot of people's lifetimes, like if you're born 2000 or later, it's not a great feelings. And I mean, there's a lot like that's already been done with Iowa State, a lot they achieve, but there's a lot more to achieve. And I think getting this will be like one of these games where it's a time for Iowa State to be like prove they're like a real deal. And this is one of those games that we circled, like I think on the calendar, even before the season start, as like this will be very important in order to determine whether Iowa State is a legitimate contender or not.
I mean, like this could be just like a fork in the road type of moment to where, you know, like that TCU game prove to us that Iowa State can be a good program. Now I think this game will see if we can be a great program. Like we've been good, but the hardest transition is to go from being good to great. So with that, let's dive deep into West Virginia. West Virginia, they have a very, very good offense. I know they average about 32 points a game. So they can score the ball pretty well, and obviously one of the possible problems that I could see in this game is they have a great run game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in their game against Oklahoma State, West Virginia, I believe, ran all over Oklahoma State. They ended up with just under 400 yards of rushing. Jaheim White led the team with 19 carries, 158 yards, and one touchdown. But Garrett Green and CJ Donaldson also contributed in the run game as well. Garrett Green, 10 carries, 86 yards for a TD. And then CJ Donaldson Jr. with 20 carries for 77 yards and two touchdowns. So that's quite a three-headed monster when it comes to running the ball. And this is something that has me a little bit concerned, especially for our defense. But the good thing is, like, as far as I know, that we at least have guys that are healthy enough to play that have seen starting minutes. Because in that Baylor game, we saw like defenders drop like flies. I mean, about Dom Orange, J.R. Singleton, Kale Brezina, and then we already were out Darian Porter even before the game. Miles Purchase came off for a few plays here and there. So it was getting a little scary seeing those guys all come off the field, but luckily all of them made a return. And earlier in the week, I believe yesterday, actually, Matt Campbell in his press conference spoke and said that Kale Brezina is practicing. He's practicing well, so it sounds like that he's probable to go into the game. And then Darian Porter sounds like he's good to go as well because he was a game-time decision for that Baylor game, and he ultimately didn't play.
That's a good update. I was wondering about that. I usually will. I didn't have time to tune into the weekly press conference like I usually do. But that's really, really good news right there. I did hear something about in their wins, they averaged 7 yards per carry, and then their losses, they averaged 3.3. And I think that's going to be the key right there, is basically tackling them at the first point of contact. So not letting them get that excess yardage and breaking tackles to make them average 7 yards per carry. I think that's going to be one of the big things in this game to slow down their offense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. That's going to be something huge to note. And that's going to be something that, like, and we've seen throughout the year, Iowa State has tended to like kind of struggle with bringing guys down. I mean, you see a bunch of like running backs, like when they go up against Iowa State, they're able to get those extra yards just because they're able to fight off the tackles from Iowa State. And that has something that has been a little bit concerning for the Cyclones defense is they haven't really been able to necessarily wrap up guys and finish tackles. But we have seen a little bit of a progression, like obviously with Brezina and things like, I mean, Dom Lawrence is capable of wrapping guys up, and just the fundamental kind of things is less ultimately like what it is. And that's just what's going to win your football games. And I'm pretty sure this week, Iowa State knows that they can't really afford to do what they did against other teams like Houston and Baylor, where they aren't like fully wrapping up guys and things like that. So I'm pretty sure that's been hammered in this week in practice, and we'll see if it comes into fruition.
Definitely. And I think if we're able to at least stop some of their run game and force them to pass the ball, I think that could definitely work in our favor. Although Garrett Green is a very good quarterback, and he's a great runner, but like I think like they predicate their offense on the run game. So if we can even slow that down even a little bit, or at least try to hold them under 180 yards, like I feel like that'd be a win for this defense.
Yeah, and I think that's always been something to note with John Heacock's defense is like he's always going to put like his like defense to make you beat us with not your best player. So he's just going to try to do everything he can to like force you to play your weaker side, play your weaker hand, and not like win with your strong hand. It's like I think with Heacock's defense is like he's going to put his best game plan towards the best thing that their offense is going against, and if like Garrett Green beats us through the air, then so be it. But like you are at least limiting like the big major players like in that run offense. So I think that's just something that is he like that's John Heacock's bread and butter right there is you beat us, but not with your best players. If you beat us with like something that you aren't like usually like you aren't necessarily like greater at, then so be it. But we're gonna force you to play uncomfortable. And if you play well while being uncomfortable, so be it.
Right. Like basically if you basically dodge every wrench in the book that the professor throws mm-hmm. at you, you deserve yeah. to win the game. Like so like I mean, you know, he is the master of adjustments. So, you know, I think if there's something that isn't ironed out in the first half, he'll figure it out in the second half. And I think for me, I think the comparison for this offense is basically an Iowa that can actually throw. Like they can complete, they run us at the pass. So they have receivers out front, but they prefer to run the ball. They want to slow down, run the clock out. So I know for us, a key for this defense is going to be getting off the field, because they're going to want to have long sustained drives and keep that Iowa State offense off the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just like that's one of the major things that is going to like that Western Virginia wants to play in order for it to be their advantage. Another thing that they would want to play into their advantage is obviously the atmosphere. Now, we saw what happened yeah. With our atmosphere and how great that was. Now, I wonder how much of that atmosphere are they going to hear like at Milan Puskar Stadium, which is basically very similar to Jack Trice Stadium. The little tidbit for those who may not be too familiar, Jack Trice Stadium and Milan Puskar Stadium are shaped similarly. They were built by, I believe, the same construction contractor. So they're basically sister stadiums. So they're familiar in that manner. And I think the atmospheres are going to be very similar. How the players will handle being on the other side of that atmosphere, we will have to see. But they know what it's like playing in that atmosphere. The question is, how are they going to be able to handle being on the other side of said atmosphere?
Right. I mean, we'll see how this team responds, especially to a very, very, like, to play a good team. This is another test that this team has to pass in order for us to get to where we want to be. Like, the tests get harder each week, but we'll see how they respond. Now, let's talk about our offensive attack. I think offensively, we're really going to be able to get ours. Like, West Virginia's defense is not good at all. Like, they're near the bottom of college football in, like, different areas. So, like, I believe, like, mainly if the key thing for us is to not have dumb procedural penalties and play our type of ball and no turnovers, because as you see, we are very, very hard to beat when we don't turn the ball over. Also, just the fact that we have a positive turnover margin, which we're like top 10 in the nation right now. It's like if we keep playing the type of ball like we have, and also we have to start fast. I think that's going to be a huge thing for us. Like, you know, it was good the first 5 games with the guys we're playing, but now with the competition getting better, we cannot afford to have a slow start, Cody.
Yeah, and yeah, that's one thing I've noticed. Yeah, and I think a lot of fans are concerned about, and they have a right to be concerned. Mm-hmm. Our slow starts haven't been that great, but I think what we saw in that Baylor game, I think I take that as progress. You may not see it on the score sheet, but definitely, if you look at if you look at that first drive against Baylor, we were moving the ball well like that. We were all the way in the red zone. We moved the ball down fine. We just had a little bit of a mistake in execution because, I mean, Abu Salma, I was watching the game again, and he missed, like, he took the wrong cut. I mean, uh-huh. That's just simple. That's just one of those, like, small procedural, like, things, like you said, like execution. But, I mean, that drive, we were moving the ball fine. So I think if we are able to do that just fine, and, I mean, we still won comfortably at the end against Baylor, but cashing in on those touchdowns are going to be a huge. And I think this team knows now that they are capable of moving the ball like that, because maybe your confidence is a little shot that, oh, no, you can't really start fast. But I think you've seen now against Baylor that you are more than capable of starting fast. It's just a matter of putting on that finishing touch. And I can say the same thing about the end of the first half, where we moved the ball down the field and we were right about to score a touchdown. But then Rocco, under pressure, throws it up, doesn't have enough strength to get it out of bounds. And, I mean, that's the right play you make in that scenario, but not enough strength in the arm. It's underthrown, gets intercepted, then you don't get points. But the fact that you're actually moving the ball in these situations, I mean, you're capable of starting fast. It's just, like I said, just a matter of actually putting the finishing touches. But I trust that this team is able to do so, and I'm sure that we are able to move fast. And I think that's going to be the huge key to be in this game, is to shut down that atmosphere early.
Yeah, let's just imagine, let's just going down, driving down, scoring a touchdown, that would take the air out of a place early. And I also think that I think we may be able to take, like, the Penn State approach, how mm-hmm. they were be able to easily move the ball down the field on West Virginia's defense. I think Mouser's going to be taking that type of approach. I think we're gonna see. I think we're gonna see a lot of deep balls, throwing it down to Higgins, to Noel, early mm-hmm. and often. Yeah, we're definitely gonna see. I definitely see a lot of Bramer. Probably gonna. I definitely also see Steve O'Klaus getting more involved in the passing game.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think one thing I noticed, like, I think we're built pretty similar to Penn State. I think we have, like, a similar build to Penn State. We have a solid QB. Like, we have a pretty good QB play. We've got good running backs, and we've got good receivers. I think if we take, like, the approach that we have for Penn State, because we're built the same, I believe. So I think Penn State definitely wants to run the ball, like, first. Like, and you made the comparison about, like, running the ball to set up the pass. Like, that's kind of, like, still a little bit in Matt Campbell's DNA, but we've just evolved it a bit to where we will include the pass as well to set up the run and vice versa. So, I mean, yeah, you take the Penn State approach, and I think Iowa State's more than capable of doing that approach.
Oh, yeah. I also think, like, for some reason, if the pass game doesn't work, like, the Iowa game proved that we can pass ourselves back into the game. So, mm-hmm. like, even if that doesn't work, which I'm actually very confident that we're going to have another great rushing performance. Yeah. I think the offensive line is definitely going to be key in this game. Just to continue their momentum. Like, they created huge holes on Saturday, man. I mean, mm-hmm. so I expect Carson Hansen to have a good game again. I think Jalen Jackson, he's going to share what he can do. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting.
Yep.
So with that, what's your score prediction, or what are your keys to the game for us to get a victory on Saturday?
I mean, it's just like, you know, before I get to that, I actually just found this thing. So There are a lot of parallels to this year's Riot Bowl to the one in 2018. Mm-hmm. This is, comes from a buddy on Twitter, just a kid from West Virginia, Noah. So he made this chart and he's been updating it throughout, but I'm going to show the people on YouTube, watching this video. There's a lot of parallels to this game. So the road team enters undefeated at 5-0 entering the game, which in this case, 2018, 2024, that's checked off. Home team comes off a win against Oklahoma State. Yeah, I mean, we did the exact same thing in 2018, Brock Purdy's first start.
Yep.
Home team does the blackout for the game. Yeah, I mean, West Virginia, they've announced they're doing their coal rush. This is the game they're going to do the coal rush. Game played the week of October 11th to the 18th. Yeah, I mean, our game got 2018 was played on the 13th, if I'm not mistaken. Night game was at 7 p.m. In the time zone from the of the away team. Yeah. Home team, these two are a little questions. We'll have to see what Iowa State equipment goes for. I'm going to assume they're going to go like red helmet with white. Could be possible, but we'll see. Tim Brando on the call. Yep. Home team QB plays better than record shows. I mean, that's object. Like, I feel like it's a little objective, but I can see right. where it goes. Yeah. Road teams enter at the top 15 team. Yeah. So there are a lot of parallels, and that's something that's cool to note. Don't mind the other memes. But, anyways, yeah. I just think. There's a lot of parallels to this Riot Bowl, and I think this is going to be a great game. But I think the key, like the major keys for Iowa State, is to have that like that ground game going, because we've seen it in the last two games and how they produce. And to go further into that, I want to talk about Abu Usama. I know obviously he didn't have that much of an impact in the last game. Some fans are like questioning about Abu Usama's production. I think he's fallen off, and there's valid criticism there. But he still leads the team. Like he's second on the team in yards behind Jalen Jackson. They both are at like 400-something yards. So even with Abu Usama having like some bad performances like what we saw against Baylor, he's still capable of like running the ball. And I think this is going to be one of these games where the depth matters. And I think this is one of these games where Abu Usama is going to be much needed. And I mean, just don't give up on Abu Usama if you're a fan. Like, I know he hasn't been performing well, but these are the moments that you're going to need him. If, say, Jalen Jackson and or Carson Hansen gets shut down, Abu Usama's right there, and he's going to be the one that, like, needs to step up. And I think he might be, honestly. So, just, yeah.
Yeah. No, so I think a few keys for me, I'm going to say start fast, get the run game going early, and defense, get off the field. Get off of that field. So with that, what are your predictions? Your score predictions?
I mean, this one, I think we're in the last a few games or so, we scored against our score differential, like our points per game has been pretty good. I think we're in the around the 30s. We generally get up like around like 20 some points, and I think we're more than capable of scoring at least like 30 points. Whereas West Virginia, I've noticed here in their losses, I mean, they've shown obviously they got basically shut down with Penn State and blew a lead against Pittsburgh. So they've been in the 30s as well, but I think we can like reach that. So I think this might be a little bit of a shootout, but I think our defense is a little better than West Virginia's, and they're going to be able to get a couple of important stops. But I ultimately think this might be a little bit of a shootout here. So I might be leaning towards like maybe like 44-38 in favor of Iowa State. Okay. Two high-powered offenses, and they are both capable of running up the score. I think it's just a matter of who gets the important stops, and I think Iowa State has the capability of getting those stops as the better defense, at least on paper.
I actually have a much lower score. I think the defense will force, I think, two turnovers. I think we'll be able to get some stops on D. For me, I think this is a game where we pull away in the second half. I have us winning something like a 31-20 or like a 38-20 or something like that.
Okay.
So I have us. That's why I have us winning. Mm-hmm. And of course, Cody, we love doing our Big 12 segment. So share that screen and let's. We already did a little bit of it, but let's look at these a little bit deeper. For the Big 12 segment, and mm-hmm. especially Absolutely. Looking at these national games, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some good, like, obviously we talked about this the other day on Monday. We kind of want to take a little deeper look here. So obviously, so we have the Friday matchup, which is going to be number 16 Utah visiting 4-1 Arizona State, coming off a great win against Kansas and really establishing themselves in the Big 12. And I think they're still ripe. And this is almost looking like a pick'em game here on the match predictor. This is almost just like a just a pick 'em. It's like 51-49, so it's break even if you say. Utah's only favored it by 4. So I mean, Arizona State is capable. I mean, look at their last like few games. They barely lost to Texas Tech, and then they beat Kansas. And I mean, I think this Arizona Scadabo, I think, yeah, he's the real deal for Arizona State. I think Scadabo's a real deal.
Yeah, Scadabo is definitely the real deal for him. Obviously, really, it's the burning question that everybody has. Is Cam Rising going to play or not? That's really just been the thing. It's like honestly, like if he actually does play, then really a lot for the rest of the year they're gonna be like favored. But like that's really the key. And if Luke Wilson takes a step because he's been struggling, he's a young guy. But like, I mean, for this team, you know, they expected to have Cam Rising, so this should be a interesting matchup. But I think this will be closer than what the experts predict. Just to have Big 12 after dark on Friday night, this is going to be a great lead up going into Saturday.
Yeah, and then after Big 12 of the Dark, you've got your Saturday matchups, Cincinnati UCF, Arizona at BYU. This is the big noon kickoff game, I think we alluded to earlier or earlier in the week. Obviously, you got the Riot Bowl, and then Kansas State at Colorado. Like, and I think I want to honestly take a look at the Kansas State Colorado game a little more.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, I mean, looking right now, Kansas State is all like only right now a 4.5 point favorite against the Buffaloes. And I mean, the Buffaloes are looking pretty legit. Like each week, each passing week, they look legit.
Yeah, they have looked legit, man. Let's see if their line, both their line plays, both their line play continues to improve. But like with K-State, like if they want to continue to stay in this race, they gotta win this game. Like I see this team, I see this game going two different ways. Either Kansas State wins it running away, or this is gonna be a shootout to the end. Because I just like, because you know Colorado, if you're willing to go score for score with them, they will go score for score with you. Like they can do it.
Yeah, honestly, this is like you prepare for fireworks. I don't know how like if this is like what we expect it to be, and it's gonna be a like just a bunch of fireworks. I don't know how much energy you're gonna have left for this game because this is a our local time 9:15 kickoff. So I'm guessing what is that a 7:15 kickoff in.
It would be 8:15 kickoff for
Okay.
Colorado for Mountain Time.
Okay. Yeah, but like I hope if you somehow have energy left, this game is gonna be one to look out for somehow.
Yeah, man. I mean, depending on how you really feel about this, like if you really feel that, I would probably put some coins on betting the over. But man, yeah, I think that's gonna be a fun game.
All right. And then yeah, those are just some of the Big 12 games to look out for. Let's go national here. I've got some midweek action. I mean, New Mexico State and Jacksonville State are going at it right now. So we'll see how that ends up. Liberty going to overtime with FIU. Interesting.
Wow, interesting.
Oof. People keep talking about the fact Liberty fans are saying like undefeated and things like that. I mean, we'll just have to
Yeah,
see
their
what.
strength of schedule is trash, though.
No, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about the strength schedule? Let's talk real quick. Let's see. Campbell 41-14 victory. New Mexico State 30-24. Okay, versus these it's a little more respectable here. New Mexico State, UTEP. All right, not bad. East Carolina. Okay. App State that got canceled, and then FIU. Geez, you need overtime to win that game. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about you.
That's what I'm saying. Like that schedule, there's no way if they go undefeated that they're gonna get put in over like a Boise State who took Oregon to the brink. Like, there's no way they're going to get in.
Yeah. I mean, they only lost on a walk-off field goal, so.
Jeez.
Yeah. All right. Some more midweek action here. Coastal Carolina taking on James Madison. I definitely look out for this one if I'm a G5 fan.
Yeah. That one could be that one's going to be a fun one tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And then we can get on to our slate for Saturday. South Carolina taking on Alabama. I mean, Alabama reeling. But I mean, I think they should take care of business against South Carolina after that loss to Vanderbilt.
It's going to be interesting to see how Bama responds after that loss to Vanderbilt. We'll see. In the Kalen DeBoer era.
Yeah. Let's just see how you respond. Just 11 a.m. window outside of Alabama and maybe Washington, Iowa. This one's looking a little like this one could be interesting here. Washington at Iowa.
Yeah, Washington, Iowa is going to be interesting. Washington coming off a huge win against Michigan at home. Iowa coming off a beatdown from Ohio State. So, I mean, like, Iowa is sitting at 3-2, so this is sort of like a gut check for them. It's like, all right, well, we can still make our season out something at 3-2. I mean, but if you lose this and 3-3, man, jeez. Especially with that offense, it's not looking good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's going to be your 11 a.m. window, so that one's like a little bit of a teaser. We go to your 2:30, your afternoon window, and circle the Red River rivalry, the Red River shootout, whatever you want to call it. That's going to be on ABC. That's at 2:30. That's a big game to watch out for.
Yes, sir. This is going to be so weird now because now that this is an SEC matchup, this game is going to be played at 2:30 now instead of 11 a.m. It's so weird to me. Penn State USC is also going to be interesting. Interesting to see how SC responds after going on the road. There's like a crazy stat in the Big Ten where I think road teams are 1-7 after going from multiple time zones. Mm-hmm. And like USC had to go 2 time zones. Penn State's traveling 3 time zones. So like it should be interesting to see how you know, they're going to be playing an early game. This game is going to be at 12:30 LA time. So like it should be interesting to see how Penn State gets up for this game.
Yep, and that's your CBS game. So that's going to be a big, that's going to be a lot of eyes on that game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Some more Stanford and Notre Dame on NBC, obviously. Cal and Pitt. Who would have thought Pitt undefeated at this point in the year? Number 22 in the country.
Yeah, man. They're probably one of the biggest surprises of the year. And they're going to be playing a feisty Cal team that took Miami to the brink. And I felt like they sort of got cheated last week because Miami keeps getting the benefit of these penalty calls. But
let's be real. I think the only reason why Miami got the benefit is because they realized the ACC needed somebody to still be undefeated. So that way they can still be somewhat a legitimate player in the college football playoff. Well, let's be real. Cal won that game, and I think Cal is going to play with that chip on their shoulder. They knew they got screwed out of the game, so I think that might they might have some level of frustration and anger. They might try to put it on Pitt and ruin their season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I see Cal coming out with a fire in this game.
I mean, Pitt's only a 3-point favorite at home, so that just shows you just how like Cal has like been playing against these top dog team, like these upper tier teams. I mean, you remember earlier in the year, I believe they beat Auburn, and then obviously they took Miami to the brink. So Cal can play with the big boys of college football, the bigger boys of college football. So I wouldn't be surprised if Cal pulls off the upset.
Nah, me neither. Like we said, Pittsburgh always loses a dumb game that they shouldn't. This might be the one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Skip over some more games here. Memphis to South Florida, G5 game to look out for.
Definitely. Memphis, South Florida. Man, did you look at the over under for this game? 60.5.
There's a game that I'm seeing here that's higher than that over under.
What?
Arkansas State, Texas State. Look at the over under for this game.
64 and a half, and they're a 14.5 point favorite.
Some of these G5 over unders are wild, but real quick, I'm gonna jump back to Power Four real fast before we go to like G5. Florida, sure. Tennessee. Tennessee coming off that loss against Arkansas, you know they kind of need a win here in order to keep themselves in the SEC championship race.
Yes, Florida. Yeah, this is going to be interesting because we're going to see how Nico Maliava responds, man. After a loss, a tough loss to Arkansas, like this, like rivalry games, you throw the records out and. Like, Florida is going to give everything they got, man. So, that one's going to be closer than what the experts predict. So, watch out for that one.
Yep. And then after that, we've got two marquee matchups right down here. Ohio State, number 2 in the country, taking on Oregon. Number 3 in the country at Autzen Stadium. The Autzen Zoo is going to be hosting the Buckeyes. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, so for Ohio State, this is going to be their first test of the season. Up to this point, they've played tons of cupcakes, but we're really, really going to see how this roster is against Oregon, who got tested in week 2 against Boise State. I think this is going to be who's going to have supremacy in the Big Ten, and who knows, this might be a future meeting in the playoff.
I mean, who knows? Maybe these two teams meet each other in the Big Ten title game. Like, because right. I think I had this as like my early preseason prediction as to who's going to be playing to play for the Big 12 or Big Ten championship. And I had Ohio State and Oregon. And I mean, I had Oregon getting the win over Ohio State. Both teams beating Michigan. I had both teams beating Michigan. Ohio State coming in with that one loss. Oregon coming in undefeated. And yeah, that was my Big Ten championship prediction. And then right below Ohio State, Oregon, you have Ole Miss traveling to Death Valley to take on the Tigers at LSU.
Yeah, 61.5 over under. If you remember last year's game was high scoring. I believe Ole Miss won like 61-58 or something like that, something crazy like that last year with Jaden Daniels. So I expect the same thing to be the score, just to be ran up again, and whoever gets the ball last wins this game. But that's going to be a fun one, especially if you have that in your quad view. That's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah. Yep. And then down here, just some, obviously we mentioned Kansas State, Colorado, and then Boise State traveling all the way to Hawaii to take on the Rainbow Warriors. I think Boise State should be able to take care of business, but if you are sicko enough and are still able to watch this game after all these other games, especially that 6:30 window, props to you. I mean,
if you want to watch a good running back, if you want to watch a electric player, watch Ashton Johnson. Like that guy is just a human highlight reel, man. So if you are a football sicko and you want to watch him play, stay up and watch them probably destroy the Rainbow Warriors. But that's going to be that's just to watch him. That's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be your Week 7 preview. There's a lot of college football still to go. Some rankings to watch out for. I mean, who knows how they're going to shift after the week. So, we'll see just how chaotic like this. If last week was chaos incarnate, who knows how much more chaos we're going to be seeing in the next few weeks.
I am telling you this. I'm telling you, Cody, this season just reminds me it's 2007 light. But like, man, every week it just goes up and up and up. And then teams that you didn't even think were going to be undefeated or undefeated, like us. I mean, we said, you know, in our previews, we're like a lot very, very optimistic. But, man, we're actually 5-0 and, you know, thinking that we moved to 6-0. Like, man, move to 6-0, man. Then, like, you know, the conversations are going to be like, man, are we thinking playoff? But, yeah, right now we're just going to worry about this game on Saturday, and hopefully we get a dub from it.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts? Sir?
All right. No, I'm ready for this Riot Bowl. I'm ready for this weekend of college football. I'm ready to go.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's beat those Mountaineers. All right. Mm-hmm. This is your West Virginia preview. Fun to Believe in Iowa State podcast. Make sure to add us on our social media on TikTok, Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube. So, and also, you know, if you have any questions for us, he's at Matt Campbell Impersonator. I'm at Side Tie Guy. And also, you can find us on your favorite podcast provider. For Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Van Cielo.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll Clones, baby.
Let's go State.